What's the history of Pakistan? Is there really going to be the darkest history in the world? Not only just for Southeast Asia, but also for the Asia itself, because it is establishing a precedence that any barbarism, any thuggery, any violation of constitution and the laws are okay and are considered as internal affairs of the country. This is the message Pakistanis are getting from Western countries who shout their lungs out in support of democracy, in support of human rights, in support of women rights, when it comes to Afghanistan, Iran, and other third world countries. But when it comes to Pakistan, they get blackmailed by these third class Interpol journals and they keep quiet or look at the other way. History is not going to forgive them for this negligence and this crime against humanity. It will keep coming back again and again, and it will have some repercussions. I'm sure the Biden is going to lose the election. The Pakistani diaspora, who is pro-Imran, 90%, is going to make sure that Donald Trump comes back to the office, and they will pin some hope that he might put some pressure on this Interpol issue gang, which is unlikely because Donald Trump has more serious issues to handle. He has China to handle, he has North Korea to handle, he has Russia to handle. So I really don't think Pakistan will be on his agenda. But we'll see what happens. As regards to Pakistan, I have said that the IMF might give them some loan to run the government, to pay salary, but this is not going to last because the system Pakistan has set up in it to run the government is totally, totally misplaced, stupid, and senseless. No country in the world will take loan to pay salary. No country in the world will take loan to give it to its thug bastard journals who have lost half the country and are about to lose the rest. And this political implosion, social implosion, and the economic explosion is going to rock the country in the next few months, and there is a strong likelihood that it will turn into a Sri Lanka and on a bigger scale. Sri Lanka population is not much, and their IMF bailout probably worked for them, but for Pakistan, no matter how many bailout they get from IMF, it is not going to work, and the country will always be in debts and debts and debts. Pakistan's debt has almost grown or ballooned up to almost $100 billion, while its own GDP is only $400 billion. I mean, no country in the world has such a big ratio of loan versus GDP. It is amazing that the Western countries are not looking into it seriously and trying to bring Pakistan back to some sensible ideas, sensible living, and sensible management. I mean, if they like, they can probably tell the generals to get out and let civilians run the politics, tell the generals to get these mullah gangs out. Although they have said many, many times that the Islamic laws in Pakistan, they are barbaric and should be taken away, and because they violate the human right. But the pressure is not building as much as it should to make sure that this low IQ interpass GSQ bastards can stay aside and let civilians run the government. It's very unlikely, because definitely it is either their grave or Imran Khan's grave. And there is a strong likelihood that he will be eliminated in the next few months. And after that, it will be same turmoil, because the other two political parties, PMLN and PVP, they tried to set aside this military gang many times, but every time they were toppled and they brought the other party. Now we have 33 parties, and in that trioca we have no idea how the things are being settled, but whatever happens, it is impossible for Pakistan to survive, because the main thing which actually is missing in Pakistan is the job creating environment. And because of the religion and this shit of Arab Islam, job creation is close to impossible. People are said that we have to prepare hereafter, this world is nothing, and the man buried in Medina is our hero. Well, he was not a hero when he was alive. But the people of Pakistan are not allowed to read the history, are not allowed that this Baba of Medina was actually about to explode before his grave was dug and he was put in. Because in the desert heat of 3 days, it is impossible for a fat man to stay intact. And he was very fat, like any mullah. I mean, the mullahs, because they only eat and sleep and have sex. They have no idea what hygiene is. They have no idea what the health is. And that's why you see every mullah everywhere. I mean, you can see any mullah anywhere in the universe or in the Muslim world. They are all fat belly. Some even have like 100 inch. I mean, even the elephant will be ashamed to look at them, how fat they are. And so was Prophet Muhammad, because he was very fat and he was about to explode. So Ali came in the middle of the night, according to Aisha, who narrated that event, that on the third day, I believe it was Wednesday, she heard somebody digging some place in my room, because they could not give him shower, they could not move him, and they just hurriedly made the pit and put him in. That's how it was done. But for Pakistanis, that person is the prime and prime of everything. Oh, they say if you die for Pakistan army in fighting Taliban, Muhammad is going to embrace you. And at the same time, Taliban say the same thing. When we'll die, Muhammad is going to embrace us, and he is going to gift us with huris and free food and all that nonsense. But because the Pakistan is so much enveloped in this shit, that they are unable to give any position or any space to science and civility. By civility, I mean the woman right, kids right, animal rights, which are missing in Islam. Because Islam is basically a tribal culture, and the culture which was prevalent in that area for more than 10,000 years. This is how the Middle Easterns used to live, and this is how different tribes were surviving living together. There were some unwritten code of conduct which everybody followed, and that way they had some peace. If a person makes harm some other tribe, the tribe will take action and he will be punished. That's how actually the system worked. But then the religion came, and then the poor of the society became very useful to them, because they used them as a warrior, as a mujahid, as a soldier of Allah or God or whatever religion it was over there. And they will be forced to wake up early morning for the Fajr prayer, and then they will be waiting for the orders from the boss, and the boss will say, okay, this is how you prepare and get the booty, and when you get the booty, then give me 20% and 80% I will distribute among you. That way they were busy all day, and they had to pray few times. I mean, there is no information that everybody prayed five times, but everybody was at the mercy and waiting for the caliph or the powerful or the leader to tell them what to do, where to go, and how to end the day. And that way they actually worked on creating or taking away others' women, others' kids, others' cattle, and have fun. But as I've said many times, this was tribal time when there were no national armies, there were no system, there was no democracy in Middle East, and everybody was on his own, and the poor were at the mercy of the caliph and powerful just for 2 days' food or maybe a wife. And whatever the plunder they bring, they get, the 80% of it gets distributed among hundreds and thousands, while the Prophet keeps 20%. And he was doing pretty good. He had 11 wives, having fun all day, all night. According to one narration, he used to have sex 11 times, one time with each wife every night. Maybe not every day, but this is the narration in the history details which we know about Muhammad. But the guy was being used, I would say, because he became the main provider of statements you can attribute to God. And most of those statements, particularly after when he migrated to Medina, were all about killing, harassing, abusing, and taking over others' land. They call it jihad fi sabilillah, and that means that when you attack somewhere, everything they have is yours. I mean, this is unbelievable how the 7th century and even up to 15th century, we have this world with tribal mentality and tribal culture, until the Europe awakened, and then they took over every barbarian on the planet and then taught them some civility, introduced democracy, and make them half human being, because they never were a full human being, because they were never told to get out of religion and be a good human being. They say, no, we are Muslim first and then Pakistani or whatever, you know, nationality, and then Mullah is our guru, and Mullah is going to tell us how we run our life. And that way Mullah always made good money, and the people not only lost their wealth, but also their land, their honor, their respect, and all that. But this is the way it was until the European countries awakened, and they made sure that everybody's human right is guaranteed. Wherever they went, they provided human rights. Now, in Pakistan, we don't have any idea of human right. We only have mullah right, we have general's right, and that's it. There is no other person who can enjoy any right in Pakistan, as we have seen in last 2.5 years, where this military gang, it attacked every opponent's home in the middle of night, beat the old people or young people indiscriminately in front of their families, even molested their families, and made the video of it, and then blackmailed them. This is how these bastards, they have been running the country for more than 70 years. So Pakistanis are really very unfortunate that they have an alien army right from within, who has no self-respect and who has no sense of humanity. So they really have to blame themselves for letting this go on for 70 years. Only when Imran Khan ran out of the government and then started his campaign, the people realized that they have been falsely told that this Pakistan military is very honest, very disciplined, and all that nonsense. They now know today that these corrupt generals, they are real bastards. They have no common sense. They don't know how to run the things. That is why we see India booming and Pakistan is dooming. If there is a word called doom or doomed. Yeah, I think there is. So the country has to be doomed, because this cannot run on taking loan from IMF to pay the salaries and taxes, and ultimately everything will go out of control. And Pakistan is really such an unfortunate nation that from yesterday we have now this shit of Ramadan, which will last for a month, which is an absolute travesty, which is an absolute barbarism against the poor of the country. Pakistan's productivity is 30%, and during Ramadan it goes down to 15-16%. I had a big episode on Ramadan 4 years back. I should think you should go back and listen to that again, where I say the drama of Ramadan and how it is called holy, because the mullahs, they make 80 to 90% of their annual income in this month. They tell, oh, Allah likes Ramadan. I mean, how come a God would like a hungry people? I mean, the mullahs or Islamists will say, oh, this God is all about humanity. Really? I mean, this God loves the blood of the animals. I mean, how you can call him a God who loves the blood of the animal and say, oh, when the animal is slaughtered, then Allah is happy. Or when people are hungry, Allah is happy. And in that month, as I have said, everything goes down berserk. The price of the goods become 100%, 200% up, and poor people, and now we have more than 40-45% poor in Pakistan, and even middle class people have a hard time getting 2 times food for their kids. This is how bad this month is. Because instead of banning Ramadan, that this country is so poor and we cannot afford this kind of luxury, and then going for Umrah and making Arabs richer and bankrupting the country during the month of Ramadan. I mean, there are so many non-stop flights which go from Pakistan for this shit of Umrah. And I have another podcast only just for the Mecca, telling the people that Mecca is totally fake. It was not built by Abraham, not at all. It was built by some Tom, Dick and Harry. And then they put a stone on the side and they say, oh, this stone came from heaven, really? So where is heaven? After the Hubble telescope, before the Hubble telescope,
the heaven was about the clouds. Now after the Hubble telescope, and after when the air travel is so common, and they don't see any Allah or any angels, they have sent Allah to billions of miles away. Because it is billions of miles away, the universe is so big. And more universe are being created according to the science. And the space is so unlimited that this universe is expanding. So instead of looking into what actually made or how this atom or this electron and proton who make an atom, and we have billions and billions and billions of electrons in just our one thumb or one finger, which are running at the speed of light, 170 kilometers per second. This is the speed of an atom, and this human body mass or every mass on the earth is made comprised of these atoms, who then can change to molecule, and from molecule they become millions of them, make it a mole, and from the mole comes the mass. This is how complicated this world is. And it is unfortunate that we had Dr. Abdul Salam, who was Qadiani, who got Nobel Prize on this investigation, that how these particles and subparticles of an atom tend to multiply each other so that it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And he was awarded Nobel Prize for his great work along with another theoretical physicist. And this is what the universe is. While we are roaming around Muhammad and his Sahaba and all that nonsense, or all these imams and masjids, and in Pakistan in particular, these imams have been made so powerful thanks to GSQ gang that they now have everybody's balls. Nobody can say a word. Before the world ends, the mullah will squeeze his balls. I mean, so much so that they control even the social setup. If the man, they are not happy with the man, they say, oh, now your wife is haram. Now she, you cannot have sex with her. If you have sex, it will be zina and all that nonsense. While in a civilized world, most of the Muslim countries, these kind of fatwas are not allowed from mullahs. Mullahs are totally regulated, but in Pakistan, mullahs have everybody's ball. And that is why nobody can do anything except running out of the country, go to West, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, you name it. I mean, there is not even a single country in this world where Pakistanis are not leaving. Because the country failed them, because they did not do enough work to create jobs, and that is why they are now in such a bad situation. I mean, the same culture we see in India is successful because the religion is not part of the government. Education is very important, and the healthcare is provided to everybody or as much as people. And the Modi, I would call him a great, is definitely better than any Muslim prophet. Because the Muslim prophets, they did nothing except having fun with wives and concubines. I mean, remember, one prophet, David, had 3,000 wives and unlimited concubines. If you talk to an Islamist, they say, oh, because the men were in war all the time, so they were in shortage. But the stupid, why did he took all 3,000? I mean, he could have distributed 10 for each. Or tell everybody else, okay, you get one wife, I get one wife. I mean, what we call a fair deal in this world? This is how you live your life, that the king has 3,000 wives and thousands of concubines, and common men don't even have one. And then Muslim countries, particularly the poor men who don't have a wife, is not even allowed to masturbate. They say, oh, you masturbate, you're doing sex, and you must cry all night and do the hajj and ask for forgiveness and all that nonsense. This is what the condition of Pakistan is today, that we have lost every rational thinking, where everybody is allowed to do whatever he or she want to do as long as they don't hurt anybody else. Create jobs, work hard. I mean, people are as hardworking as any American, but they have no job. And nobody allows people to create jobs. They say, oh no, no, the Islamic way is you must cover your head, your hairs cannot be shown, your legs cannot be shown, and your breast must be inside, and your main job is to be a sex slave for the husband, even if you are on camel, and you cannot do this and you cannot do that. And on top of that, our Prophet Bhai, he saw more women in hell and more poor in hell. I mean, this is how stupid this religion is. It's an anti-job creation ideology, which is because the Quran says, anybody who works for this world, we have prepared hell for them. Because Muhammad wanted everybody to work for him and come in the morning, 5 o'clock, and do whatever he says, go attack towns, be part of the imperialism, and let us make money. And then later, I mean, as I said many times, because his own friend didn't like him, but later, after almost like 50 to 100 years, we saw the Shias and Sufis, and they evolved, and they took some control of religion, made it decentralized, but at the same time, they took all the benefits. They did not allow any human right. They keep the same shit and the same punishment, which are the most barbaric in human history, and then say, okay, this is Allah's orders and we are here to implement it. So they take poor men's wives, scores of them, and when they have four, they divorce one and take another one, then they divorce another one and take another one, with the same presumption that the men are less in number, women are more, so we can have. But stupid, why don't you give at least one wife to poor on government expense? Why can't you say, okay, the poor, it is our responsibility to give him wife and the house and the means to feed them? No, they put everything and say, oh, Allah will do it. Oh, they just have to work for us, die for us, be a mujahid, be a martyr or mujahid, and then we'll give them some little share to enjoy. In some cases, maybe a girl, which they can use as a slave or as a wife. But practically, they did nothing for poor. That is why Pakistan today is a country which cannot create jobs. Like India, we see job creation is so common. People create jobs even in small towns. They have hotels, they have clubs, they have dance places, they have entertainment places, they have sports. I mean, their cricket is like 200 times bigger than Pakistan, while the population of Pakistan is only 1/5 of India. But the sports in India, and now they are getting involved in more and more sports. They are even coming into UFC, which is the fastest growing sports. And we see even women UFC fighters from this Dangal family, the Pogart family. I think two of his daughters are UFC fighters or MMA fighters. I mean, so they create so many jobs, they make so much money and spend that money to create better economy. That is why India's GDP, which was less than Pakistan in 1980, is now almost three times than Pakistan. This is how the country is run, and the jobs are created from within. Investment is something which everybody can appreciate, but that is not the main source of economic growth. Economic growth comes within the country, from within the country, and when everybody is allowed to participate and everybody has equal rights. In Pakistan, all the rights are either to this GSQ gang and its officers' grade or the mullah gang. Average person has no right and has no resource to build his life and do something good for the country. I mean, education is the key, and that is why India is progressing so fast, because of the education. And while Pakistanis, they have the lowest education budget because all the money is taken over by this military gang who do so much corruption that every officer's kids are studying overseas while they cannot afford it in their grades. They cannot even afford a month of tuition in the grade they get, but they make so much money that they care less, and the country is being doomed. Think about it. God bless.